Good morning, church. Let's continue to focus on God. And if you have your Bibles, please open to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 25, and it goes all the way to chapter 3, verse 13. And this is what it says. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Well, this morning's message, Pastor titled it, "There is no other God but Christ, the lie that we could be God." Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning. Good morning! It is indeed a good morning because God is truth. And though Satan is a liar, truth overcomes all lies. I will start with Genesis 2:25 for my introduction. I always like to have the scripture prominent in the entire sermon. So Genesis 2:25 says, "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." You see, Adam and Eve, before they disobeyed God and believed the lies of Satan, were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Sin brought shame to something where there was no shame. Lies and deception bring shame into the lives of those who believe them. God designed us to know and love the truth, which is in Jesus Christ. The scripture calls the serpent Satan, Satan meaning accuser, who is the father of lies. By manipulating the truth with deceptive words, he twists God's word and tempts us to deny and disobey what God has said. His actions are malicious and evil, but Christ is still God over him and his lies. In spiritual warfare, the truth is what is at stake. The first lies entered the world here in the Garden of Eden and led to the fall of all humanity into sin. But the victory was already won over lies and sin because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is indeed the greatest truth that ever existed. We must believe in him and his truth, in his word, instead of the lies of Satan. So let us pray and get into the text. Dear Lord, Father, because of our sin in our hearts, Father, we all have a tendency to believe lies. Father, without your word, we are always susceptible to the lies that Satan gives us, Father. Without your gospel, without your Son, Jesus Christ, our lives are filled with lies because we cannot believe in your word unless we know you, and we cannot know the truth except through your word, Father. Even the best of us, even the most faithful Christians, do not believe fully every word of your Bible every day of our lives, Father. We still struggle with sin, and thus we still struggle with unbelief and lies that are not according to your word. None of us understand and believe the truth completely and fully. And because of some of the lies that we do believe, we are susceptible to spiritual warfare and susceptible to Satan. Father, your Holy Spirit, through your word, guides us into all truth. Father, and as we look at your word, as we believe your word, we become more and more understanding and accepting and believing in the truth, Father. But we need your word. We need to read it and study it and hear it preached and taught, and study it for ourselves in our own private lives. And when we start to believe things that are untrue, Father, we need to go back to your word and hear your truth and trust it, Father. But this is a real battle that we face every single day. This is a real warfare to believe the truth and accept your word for what it says, Father. I pray that as we look at this passage, we would see just how dangerous the lies of Satan are, Father, and be warned against believing his lies. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Point number one, the first appearance of Satan, the serpent, begins by telling us that he was the most crafty creature that God had made. It is notable that Satan is a creature that was created by God himself. The word crafty means someone or something which is skilled in deception. Satan is known as a deceiver who traffics only in lies. Here in the perfect Garden of Eden appears the first imperfection in the world, which comes in the form of a lie. God is always truth, but his word is questioned by Satan, the serpent. He asks Eve whether or not God had actually said that Eve should not eat of any tree in the garden. That is his question. The question itself, though, is dishonest and deceptive, as it puts a negative slant to God's command to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had never said that Adam and Eve could not eat of any tree in the garden, but simply that there was only one tree that they could not eat the fruit from. Is it not often that Satan will try to redefine what God has said in his word so that we will disobey Christ? Satan will say, you don't really have to do this. You don't have to obey it, because that's not what God actually said. You see, it's very clever that the lie is put forth that God has not said something that he has actually said in his word. Satan works through the society, through sin, and attempts to contradict God's word, while at the same time saying that God never said what he said in his word. Outright denial of what God has said, or a twisting of what God has said, so that we will believe anything different from God's word, whether it be a small discrepancy or a large one. He wants to lie to us and cause us to disobey in some way. Genesis 3, 2 and 3. And the woman, this is Eve, the first woman, said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Point number two. The first mistake that Eve made was that she answered the serpent. By engaging Satan in his argument, she was allowing deception into her heart. Her response, at first, seems to be a good one as she tries to quote back to Satan what God had said. But confusion and deception had already set in, because she claims that God had forbidden her and Adam from even touching the fruit, which God had not done. Rather than desiring to obey God internally from her heart, the first legalistic external desires in history came into existence. And what I mean by legalistic is a desire that is a tradition or an addition to God's word, that is something purely external, which does not affect our heart, something that we try to do that God has not commanded us to do, but that we think strengthens our obedience to God on the outside, but it actually doesn't affect our heart. That is a legalistic external desire. And by adding the idea that they were not supposed to touch the fruit, Eve was adding onto God's command in an attempt to make herself more righteous. By adding to God's command, she was setting up in her heart a desire for rebellion rather than obedience. Genesis 3, 4 and 5. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Point number 3. Satan's craftiness or skill in deception presents a serious danger to those who do not have a heart which is passionate for the truth of God's word. After drawing Eve into his deception, Satan attacks God's word more fiercely with an outright denial of what God had said when he had told them that they would die if they ate the fruit. But he does not stop there, because he immediately attacks God's character by assigning a false, ulterior motive to God. Essentially, Satan says that God is arrogant and selfish. He claims that it is God's desire to keep something good from Adam and Eve, even though they already had a perfect world and everything they could ever want. They were blessed. There was no problems. Even as God always provides for us everything we need, our sin leads us to question the goodness of God and disobey his word. Satan's tactics are often the same. He seeks to attack the character of God, or even the character of those who communicate God's word, in the hopes that people will reject his word. In this case, Satan wants Eve to desire to be a god herself instead of submitting to Christ as the only God. You will see this story over and over and over again in the Bible. God gives his word either directly from his mouth or through a prophet or leader like Moses or Jeremiah or Elijah. And we're going to see some of these stories as we go through this series. But then Satan attacks either God himself and his word, or the leader that he calls to declare his word, like Moses or Elijah or Jeremiah or Isaiah. And of course, the greatest leader, who was God's word, Jesus Christ himself. And they rejected Jesus. The Jews, when he came to them, they crucified him. And this is Satan's tactic over and over and over again, to impugn or attack the character of God and those who represent him. Happens over and over again in the Bible. Genesis 3, 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Point number four. Despite the evil and deception of Satan and his responsibility for his crime of manipulating Eve, it was not finally Satan's deception that was the cause of her choice to disobey God and eat the fruit. It was her own sin. It was Eve's own questioning of God and her own sinful desires that led to her disobedience. Her fleshly desire for the good taste of the food, the delight of her eyes when looking on the beauty of the fruit, and the pride in her heart as she saw that it might make her wise, all came together to lead her to take the fruit, eat it, and give it to her husband, Adam, to eat. By failing to lead his wife spiritually and allowing her to lead them both into this serious sin, Adam had failed as well. Both Adam and Eve knew the command of God and had been led into deception by Satan and by their own sinful desires. These sinful desires are very common as we look at 1 John 2:14 through 16. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So the one who the word of God abides in, this is the Christian, the obedient Christian, they have overcome Satan, the evil one. But it says in a warning, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then comes these sinful desires that Eve had, the same sinful desires that we're being warned about in the New Testament. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Point number five. The Apostle John gives us a warning to not be like Eve. We must not fall into sin through the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life. These are the same sinful desires that Eve struggled with. The lure of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil contained all three of these things. And these desires are not from God, but from the evil one, or Satan, the serpent. If the word of God abides in us, then we have overcome Satan and his lies, and deception ultimately cannot touch us. Although we will continue to struggle with believing and obeying God's word, Christians have the power of Christ's resurrection through the Holy Spirit, and will continually be sanctified in truth, or grow to be more like Christ, who always knows and obeys the truth. This sanctification in truth we can see in John 17:19 in the high priestly prayer. that Jesus made. And for their sake, he means his people, his church, I consecrate myself or set myself apart that they also may be sanctified in truth. So Jesus went to the cross so that his people might be sanctified in truth. What does this mean for all of us? What did Jesus do on the cross? What is the gospel? Yes, I tell you every week, but it is the most important part of everything I say, because you need this gospel. You need to believe it in order to be sanctified in truth. You see, we have sinned. We have believed lies and we have disobeyed God because of that belief in lies. And the penalty for that unbelief and that disobedience is eternal hell. That is the reality. It is not a good reality. It is very sad. But we need escape from that, and we also need escape from the lies of Satan. You see, Jesus provided that escape. He came to earth, became a man, because he had to come as God, and he lived. He never once disbelieved God, no matter what suffering came upon him, no matter who persecuted him, no matter what it was that was required of him. He always believed the truth of God's word every single moment of his life. And not only did he believe it, he spoke it. He spoke it over and over again. He told people what God had said, his Father had said, and what he had to say as the Messiah, as God. And because he lived that perfect life, we can believe in him, trust in what he has done, and his life becomes our own. His righteousness, his perfection becomes ours before God. And then when we have that perfection, that righteousness in us, as we stand before God, we also need to escape from that penalty, that hell that we deserve. We can't take that punishment ourselves because it's eternal. It goes on forever and ever. But Jesus, he went, and as the lies came against him, as Satan tried to persecute him by creating lies and disobedience in the people who were supposed to believe in Jesus, Jesus took the punishment that we deserve, even though it was a lie that he deserved any punishment. He didn't. And when he took that punishment of hell on himself on the cross, by believing in him or trusting in him, he takes it for us. And we don't have to take that punishment anymore. And then they lied and said that the apostles were going to fake his resurrection. They sealed up the tomb. They posted guards. They said that Jesus wasn't going to be resurrected because he was a fake. That's what the spiritual leaders of Israel said. They said he's a fake. But then by the power of God himself, Jesus was resurrected on the third day, and then he appeared to hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people, alive. And there was no way for the lies to overcome Jesus and his resurrection. And by trusting in his resurrection, we receive new life. That is how we are sanctified in truth. That is how we come to believe every word of his Bible and believe the truth. We have to trust or believe in Jesus' righteous life, atoning death, and life-giving resurrection in order to be saved, and it changes us and makes us believe everything that God says. But Adam and Eve didn't experience this. They ate the fruit that they were not supposed to eat, that God had said, don't eat it. God had said, don't do this. They didn't trust him. They didn't trust his word. They believed that he was two-timing them and was withholding from them something that was better, according to Satan, and they believed it too. But what they got was not better. Genesis 3, 7 and 8. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It was a perfect day in a perfect place with a perfect, loving, kind God. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Point number 6. The eyes of Adam and Eve were opened when they ate the fruit. Instead of the false promise that Satan had made to them, their eyes were not open to their own godhood, but instead their eyes were open to sin. Where before they had been naked and not ashamed, now they were naked and ashamed. Everything that had been promised by Satan was a lie. By believing in lies and deception, they had led themselves to brokenness and sin. The first thing they did after eating the fruit was attempt to cover their own shame. But even their desire to cover their own shame with fig leaves and loincloths was a deception. Broken sinners can never truthfully cover their own shame. Only the work of Jesus Christ and his blood can cover our sin. After the shame of their disobedience, they heard a sound in the cool of the day which made them very afraid, the sound of God walking in the garden. So Adam and Eve, man and wife, tried to hide themselves because they were aware of the presence of God. When we have disobeyed God's word, we will often desire to hide from his presence, which we cannot do since he is present everywhere. For Christians, he is even present in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. Genesis 3, 9 and 10. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Point number 7. God had allowed Adam and Eve to converse with the serpent and make their choice to disobey him. We know this from many other scriptures that tell us that God knows all things and is in control of all things. This is undeniable from the Bible. So we must assume that God comes here to Adam and Eve to hold them accountable for their disobedience and sin. So it is no surprise that Adam was afraid of God now that he was aware of his nakedness and sin. When he became aware of the presence of God, Adam did not want to face him. When God inquires of Adam about his hiding, he explains to God why he was afraid, but did not offer any repentance for his sin. God is a patient and forgiving God, but he will not forgive if we will not humbly come to him with a repentant heart filled with faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:11 and 12. God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Point number 8. With all that took place, God now questions Adam and Eve about what had happened. God already knew that they had eaten the fruit, but like a father who questions their children about their disobedience, he gave them a chance to respond. Adam, in his response, seemingly tells the truth, but in fact provides another deception. Adam now fails to take responsibility for his actions by laying that responsibility on Eve. Adam, as the spiritual leader in his marriage, like we talked about last week, was responsible to lead Eve to obey God's word. Instead of admitting to his own failing, he blames Eve. Had Adam not, against the command of God, allowed Eve to lead spiritually, they would not have fallen into sin. I presume that. That's not spelled out, that. But God does give us a command to obey in marriage, as we saw last week. Furthermore, Adam blames God for giving Eve to him, which is an ungrateful act on his part. When God gives us someone we are called to lead spiritually, or even someone to spiritually lead us, as Eve had Adam for, we should be grateful for this opportunity to love them and to serve Christ. One more point and then application. Genesis 3:13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "Eve, what is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Point number 9. Finally, God questions Eve about what it was that she had done. Even though Adam was the spiritual leader in this case, Eve was the one who bore her own blame for believing Satan's deception and desiring the fruit so badly. Eve blames Satan for her disobedience, which is perhaps the greatest deception of all in this entire story. Satan is a great liar and deceiver, but it is our own sin that causes us to reject God's word. By not taking responsibility for her own sin, Eve showed no repentance and rejected the mercy of God received through faith. In the end, because of her decision to engage the lie of Satan that she could become like God, she had become more like Satan than like God. Let us learn from what happened here. A true story. This happened. This actually happened. And we should not believe in lies or become deceivers ourselves like Satan. 3 points of application. The first, lies and deception lead to ruin. The first episode of spiritual warfare at the beginning of time pictures Satan, who was created by God and allowed to test Adam and Eve. Satan comes and brings the first lies and deception into a perfect world created by God with perfect truth. The scripture tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. And Satan is the exact opposite. Satan cannot do anything other than lie and deceive. So we are most like Christ when we tell the truth, and most like Satan when we lie and deceive. Application number two. The key to victory in spiritual warfare for the Christian is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, believe, trust, and obey God's word, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to not believe anything that contradicts God's word or to disobey God's word. Satan will try and engage us and get us to reject the word of God in any way possible by deceiving us. He wants us to distrust God and his word and disobey it. Whatever it takes, whatever is in his power, and his power is to lie and deceive, he will do it. Application number three. Finally, in order to believe God's word and obey God's word, we have to know God's word. When we are feeling most affected by lies and deception, that is when we need to be in the word of God the most. Adam and Eve had direct access to God himself in the garden, and they did not go to him to affirm his truth. We have direct access to God through his word in the Bible and prayer, but we need both his word and prayer together, because by praying over his word, we will have true communication that we can speak and hear the truth he has to say in his word. That's where we hear from him now. Let us pray. Dear Lord, this is a heavy story, a heavy reality. Spiritual warfare is a terrible thing, Father, and lies and deception, Father, are something that you hate. You hate any lies or deception. Father, you give us your truth in your word so that we might know the truth and reject lies. Father, please let us not reject your truth and believe lies. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.